from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad. On a lovely day, actually, it's glorious. There's little birdies out there. Even though it's really cold at night now, your little bits get frozzled. It's killing all my lovely plants on my balcony.
Oh.
And I've still got little green peppers trying to grow. Their little heads are coming up and the frost is getting to them and they won't grow.
Oh, no, you need to talk to that terrible lady at the front of the programme.
What lady?
Yeah, Patricia with a big weed. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, true. Anyway, move back onto the news, boys and girls. It's Rachel, Lee and Eric. And Theresa May said, we ain't having him back. He's all yours. We don't want him. And she's referring to the gentleman with the hook on his arm, Abu Qatada.
Very good.
Thank you. Uh-huh. That was hard to say with my teeth, I can assure you. Mm. He's the so-called cleric that was actually extradited from the UK, deported actually, because he went to the UK as he was, you know, they're all going to kill me. I think there were more people wanting to kill him in London than anywhere else. But anyway, he was sent back to Jordan where he faced charges. He was found not guilty. Had a big smile on his face. A wry smile as it goes, but the thing is, he ain't coming back to England. So what's going on now, then?
Well, I don't know where he got. You see, the argument has been, he's been described, as most people will know, as Osama bin Laden's right-hand man in Europe. And that's a scary person. That is a scary man. If he can walk around being proud of having that kind of title, it is quite scary. Now, what was the argument was that if he was sent back to his own country, that he'd get murdered.
Yeah, well, he hasn't.
Oh, no.
No.
So what happens now, then? That is a very good point, isn't it?
Well, the other thing I'd like to know is, allegedly, his family is still in London.
Mm.
And Lee's paying for him, because I ain't, and Rach ain't, but you are.
Well, yeah.
He's banned from travelling, so he can't come back to England.
No, but Lee's still paying for his family. All of them.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, you see, sometimes I get this bleeding liberal heart, don't I? And it's like, it's,
well, you're definitely really bleeding something.
Bleeding gums.
Yeah, thank you.
How guilty are his family?
I don't know.
Yeah, what do they do?
Do we abandon them because of his proclivities? Let's put it this way. What he did and what he stood for and the kind of incitement that he tried to whip up and the hatred that he tried to whip up is absolutely shameful. And if he's now become stateless, he certainly, I can't see him being released into the wide open world without, because he's such a dangerous man. And in fact, if the law is such an ass that it says that he has to be released into the wide open world, he will be snatched up and disappear off the face of the earth and able to continue his nefarious ways. But what a terrible situation to find ourselves in.
Well, there is that. And the other thing is, I mean, if he hasn't got a passport, he's a bit messed up anyway.
Yeah.
But the other question I've got for Jordan is, could you do the UK a bit of a favour, mate? We don't mind, you know. Favour would be handy. If this bloke opens up a bank account, can you nick all of his money and send it to England to pay for his missus?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if it's a matter of law, then one can't punish his family if they're not guilty of anything.
No.
So that's tricky, but as far as he goes, he's already got a travel ban on him. If he hasn't got a passport and he's got a travel ban, he's particularly marked. Mm. You would think that some agency or other would put a bag over his head and steal him away to some
island
place.
Yes. Do you know what I'd do?
What?
Quite seriously, I've just thought, while you were saying, I wasn't ignoring what Rachel was saying, I wasn't ignoring what you were saying. I was just assimilating all the facts as you spoke. And it just suddenly struck me, you know what I'd do with him?
Go on.
He could live, he could have somewhere to live, and he would get on really well with our wonderful Middle East peace envoy, that incredible Tony Blair, who, as a peace envoy, has decided that we should go to war again. So why don't we go and get him to live with him? Then I'll pay for his wife personally.
Well, then they could have a, you know, sort of 15-round boxing match or something.
Battle of the Network Stars.
Or yeah, that'll do, wouldn't it? Anyway,
that would be a bit cruel with a hawk. What about a left hook? You'll give old Tony a left hook. Hey.
Put a glove on it. Put a glove on his hook.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, serious news here, boys and girls, which was hot on the presses as we were coming to air. The UK terrorist organisation has broken a cell, mainly in London. Mm. And it's from the set up by the Metropolitan Police Counter-Terrorism Command, which is SO15. They carried out the arrests. People both in London and guess where else? Stoke-on-Trent up north.
Our
dodgies up there, aren't they? Explains it in all one sort of thing. But it does. It is a bit scary when you think that you've got these people... quite openly wandering around the streets, getting all things ready to do a bit of terrorism in somebody else's country.
Do you know what bothers me?
That's the way terrorism is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
I hate what's going on because there's so much going on in my country about this at the moment.
Yeah.
People, the hardcore lefties are saying that it's a big beat up in order for this our particular Prime Minister of the moment to get his poll numbers up.
Right.
Now, that irritates me no end because that insinuates that these things are not factual.
Right.
The other thing that bothers me about it is that what proof do you need when it is not just happening in our country, but it's also happening in others?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a global issue, a hot-button issue globally. And the fact that we've decided that we all want to trump over to Syria and blow the bananas out of it...
Yeah,
you know, that's just going to make people even more cranky.
I know. I mean, it's the same as the, what was his name? Abdul Numan Haider, who's was actually killed in Melbourne Police Station, wasn't he, Rach?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. 18-year-old kid, but they had reason enough to believe that he was up to something dodgy, asked him to come in and came in for questioning.
Yeah.
And then he decided that he was going to stab a couple of police officers right there at the police station. So this is scary. This is actually a suburb that I lived in when I was a kid.
Whoa.
And that made me just go, oh, this is really very, very close to home. Those raids we had last week, that was scary. But this is even scarier. There's a very tense feeling around Melbourne at the moment. It's very, very tense. The community is very – it's on tenterhooks. And, of course, your hardcore racists have come out.
And
graffitiing all over mosques and all that kind of thing, which doesn't help anybody. And you know what? Muslims don't really have anything to do with it.
No, that's the whole point I keep trying to make. A normal Muslim who believes in the Quran is a real Islamic person. They would never dream. They wouldn't hurt a fly.
This is where this fantastic campaign on social media has taken off. Hashtag not in my name.
That
all the teenage Muslims are doing at the moment. They're all hashtagging not in my name, which is fantastic.
Yep.
But this is scary. And anybody who thinks that it's not real is absolutely kidding themselves.
Yeah. And I think you're quite right. And I'm not using liberal as a political term. But, you know, too many liberal people go, oh, it's a shame. We should do this. We should. No. Watch my lips. The normal people are being impacted by nutters. And the small percentage influential kids, they're no better than rapists, to be honest.
No, they're not.
Can I ask a very fundamental question here? I think I know what the answer is, and I think I understand what answers you'll give. But what is this war about?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. I think, you know, the three of us are quite knowledgeable about world events and things like that. Certainly, as a journalist, it's been my life to actually be aware of what's going on. But the fundamental question is, why are we at war? And nobody really understands
answer to that. They do come out with, I mean, some of the loonies come out with the fact that it should be Sharia law.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sharia law is not Muslim anyway, really. It's something that's been dreamt up after the event. So it's not a real thing. It's that's basically some boring old duffers deciding how they can keep control. It's like communism, really. That's what Sharia law is. So you do have this problem where all of a sudden something becomes part of the normal vocabulary, and people start talking away, and they kind of almost make it normal, and that's the scary bit.
Well, the war in the Middle East has gone on for, how long has the war in the Middle East gone on?
Centuries. And it'll never finish. This is an infinite war.
Yeah.
And we involve ourselves.
As did King Richard.
Exactly. And we involve ourselves in a way which is far beyond defending our own land.
Yeah, I agree.
That's where it becomes really, really a frightening thing. And
okay, I'll tell you what, we have got a lot to get through still.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd just like to say to anybody at home, if it is that you're worried about your kid going the wrong way like that, for goodness sake, don't take them back to the place where they've been indoctrinated in the first place. Take them to somewhere completely opposite, a neutral person. And you know, I'm not the biggest fan, it's got to be said, but some good social workers, and I've actually spoken to some really wonderful people who've worked at the Metropolitan Police, who've coached kids out of drugs and all sorts of stupid things, and they've been let go, unfortunately, but some of them. But find one of the agencies, talk to one of the neutral, non-religious, non-partisan agencies, and get them to go and talk to some normal kids. And then they'll find out that what these numpties are telling them is a complete crock of rubbish.
The other thing I think is worth noting is, particularly here at home where I am, is that the hardcore lefties are bothering the police about what they call heavy-handedness. If these people had succeeded in carrying out any of these threats that the police managed to thwart, these hardcore lefties would have been right on the police saying, why aren't you doing your job properly?
Oh, they'd be off with their heads time, wouldn't it? It'd be ridiculous.
Right.
Absolutely. Anyway, listen, we've said our piece.
Leave the police alone.
They've got a job to do. Mums and dads, senior brothers and sisters, keep your eyes on some of them. If you're a bit worried, go and talk to somebody. Yeah, pick up the phone. Yeah. There's plenty of organisations. Even the Samaritans would help you if you're in the UK. And they would talk to you about it and find you a way of helping things along. So just do it, and maybe you can actually stop the war by not letting it start again. And that would be cool. Rach.
I know.
Rach.
Rach. I don't know. Before you even start, no, I don't miss it.
The Northern Territories, they haven't changed, Rach.
No, they haven't. They're still morons. This guy who's a hunter, he survived a croc attack.
Yes.
By poking the reptile in the eye.
Exactly. That's what you do with crocodiles.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, with sharks, you've got to punch them in the nose.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not a shark, it's a crocodile.
It's the same idea. You've got to hurt it where its soft spots are. And crocodiles don't have any soft spots, so really the eyeball's the only place to go.
Don't crocodiles have soft spots?
No. Well, yeah, but you can't get there before you get eaten.
Oh, I see. Right.
So you got to go for something in the head region. So anyway, here's this guy, Stephen. Stephen, who's 20, bless him, and will see his 21st birthday, one would hope. He jabbed this 2-metre-long croc in the eye.
Right.
And then he admitted that he was a little bit tipsy at the time, and you know what he did after he was injured? He drank some more beer to numb the pain.
No! What an idiot.
As he waited for an ambulance, he said he's got a scratch on his back, the rest on his arm. He ripped a bit of skin off and left 2 or 3 holes in him, he says.
No!
The Adelaide River is renowned for being absolutely croc infested. So everybody knows, don't walk into the Adelaide River because it's the home of the crocodile and you will more than likely be eaten.
Yes.
So this idiot, this numpty, he gets drunk and walks into the river because why not? Because he's 20 and he's bulletproof. So
And the thing is, though, he proved it.
Yes.
Why?
He actually survived. Well, he survived it.
He survived it.
He poked a crocodile.
You know how I hate research, boys and girls?
He does. Yes. You can tell by the content of the programme.
according to some wonderful new research, Rach would never survive. Adults and children should consider having TV-free days.
Yeah.
Forget that. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, isn't it?
I have days all the time where I have no transvestites in my life at all.
Oh, right. Or you should at least limit your viewing of the TV.
It's not going to make sense now after that.
For no more than 2 hours a day under new proposals to tack obesity. That means you're fat.
Some days. Well, there was also a story that came out this week about sitting down will kill you, and that everybody should do everything standing up. Anyway, I thought that's stupid. You know what? And I thought about this a little bit too, because I thought, how much TV do I actually watch?
We can try this. Hold on. We'll do some live market research.
Okay.
So at the moment, I am sitting down doing the program with you. Yeah.
Right.
I am now standing up. Can you still hear me all right? Or have I got to shout a bit to get to you?
Little bit.
No, you can actually tell that you really did stand up.
I'm getting down again. I've burnt enough calories off standing up. anyway, I have a solution to all this, because the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, NICE, not.
Why is it called NICE? It's got an H in it, so it's Nicky.
It's Nicky, really.
Yeah.
I think it was a PR bloke.
A nice person. PR people, they should be there with Tony Blair.
Was it a PR guy called Nicky?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And this is all down to
nice
the fact
boots.
That, and I have to say, they're probably right in a little bit of this, that obesity rates have doubled in the past 10 years in England because we don't walk anywhere anymore. Traditionally, we get in the car to go 2 metres down the road to the shop because we might have to carry something back, which is a bit dodgy. Cool, that'd be extra thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have for all of you slightly overweight people, I have a solution.
Do you?
I do, and it's a technical solution.
Yes.
And it's very simple, and it's cheap.
What are you telling with you?
You get a little tablet, one of those little 7-inch tablets with a Wi-Fi in it.
Mm-hmm.
You strap it to the handlebars of your exercise bike, and you can bicycle along watching the deli.
Exactly.
Yes,
what a good idea. But can I also actually pass on some personal experience on this matter?
I think you were very... I worked hard on that, and I think you were both very dismissive of it. And I could
I'm
be
still
hurt.
Digesting what you said. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention because I was actually watching the television.
I am so sorry. You're right. We were completely dismissive of that. That is an amazing idea, and I think it's incredibly true. And that's what you should do. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, he's been telling me about it all week.
Well, do you mean a bike that you actually ride when you leave the house? Because you'll kill yourself.
No, an exercise bike.
The exercise bike.
Yeah.
That Martina had to put together for him.
Fibs.
She did.
Fibs.
I've got no teeth. She actually put it in together.
You get 25 points simply for having an exercise bike.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's cool.
On the rachometer.
Ah, right. Okay. But anyway, they do say that walking or cycling to school or work is good for you.
Yeah.
Well,
you've been arrested for going to schools.
Well, that's true. And the trouble is, if you get wet when you're walking to work, right, and you don't dry your hair properly because you haven't got hair dryer with you, you could end up getting the flu.
You could.
Then we and me and Lee would get man flu.
Isn't that it? And flu is as good as cycling.
Right. So we'd be sick.
We'd be sick. Oh, poorly, man. Honestly, when you get poorly.
Going outside makes you sick.
It does. And exercise makes it worse because it sends it round your body quicker.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'd have
to... Don't believe the hype, ladies and gentlemen. Don't believe the hype.
No. And so our equivalents of Rach Lee would have to look after us as Rach looks after Robbie in such a warm, caring and gentle way.
And he's lost less.
I send him to Western Australia for 3 weeks at a time and he loses 20-odd kilos. That's how much I look after Robbie.
But I can tell you a true story, a personal experience of this, because while we've been in Spain, the television over here, actually, the only thing that's been worth watching is really Jeremy Kyle, because that just reminds you of
Britain. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like being in a pub in Britain. Everybody, nobody's got any teeth. Everybody's swearing, punching each other, hating each other.
Excuse me, are you like casting aspersions?
No, he's like going to a mother's union meeting.
Are you casting aspersions?
Do any gardening?
Yeah. Oh, that beat me too. How was you going to say that? But anyway, so what we've been doing, we've actually not been watching television. We've probably been watching less than 2 hours a day. And what we've been doing is walking and swimming. And we both lost weight. And the glorious Angela is looking absolutely incredible.
Well, she always does.
You know what? It's funny because now that I'm back in Melbourne, there's no point taking your car to a lot of places. It's kind of like New York. Mm. There's no point. So you just walk to get where you're going. And on the way, while you're walking to where you're going, there's so many interesting things to look at. You don't realise how long you've been walking. So no. I tend to walk everywhere. And and the other thing too, swimming does really melt weight off you. Mm. But I just walk everywhere. And when the TV wasn't working, when I first moved into my house,
yeah.
Do you know how I remedied that?
No.
DVDs on my laptop.
Ah, so wonderful. Wonderful.
I will find a way.
Yes.
Isn't it scary, though, that we are so obsessed, and it's not a new thing to say, and it's certainly not a new experience, but isn't it incredible that our whole life focus for probably 8 hours a day, generally, is on a pretend people inside a thin box in the corner of your room?
It's a bit of a phenomenon, I think. I don't know if anybody else does this, but I tend to have it on. I don't actually sit and watch the TV for hours and hours on end. I'm doing other things, but I've got to have the sound in the room with me. Otherwise, I get left alone with my thoughts.
Why don't you listen to the radio?
Radio where I am? Nah.
No, well, that's very curable. That's easy. We've done this on the programme before, Rach.
Yeah.
So,
well, all you got to do is get an old laptop off eBay or somewhere, plug it in the back of your telly. Could get one of these cheap ones where the screen's broken but the actual computer's working. It costs you about $30. Plug it in the back of your telly, use a wireless keyboard and mouse, and you can put anything from the interweb onto your television set, as I do, and all of a sudden you've got a plethora of radio stations to listen to from wherever you are in the world. And if you've got
a plethora.
A plethora. And here we go. And this is a great tenuous link. And if you go on, you've got a Windows one, then all you've got to do is download the RTI app and you can listen to Postcard from Potbread on your telly.
Oh, I do that. I do, but then I feel like a narcissist, so I have to stop after a couple.
Why?
You feel like a narcissist.
A narcissist, because I listen to myself.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. I see. I thought you set your telly on fire. No, I agree.
No, I'd never do that. Oh, my gosh. Don't say that in front of my telly.
No, you could listen to my wonderful 80s 12-inch singles, where I'm always whipping out a 12-incher for the girls.
Oh, my gosh.
you could take the trip with me, like Potty Pat at the beginning of the show.
Yes, that's true as well. Anyway, who's the boss of the UK education system? Who is he? Who's in charge?
Benny Hill.
According to the boss of Ofsted, which is the government inspector that looks after all this stuff, he reckons that children lose up to an hour of learning each day in schools because of disruption. Have they never heard of a clip round here? Oh, no, you can't do a clip round here.
No, you can't do it.
No.
You have to mediate.
You can't waterboard them either.
Can you not?
Parents you have to then... You know, micromanage these children.
You can't microwave them.
Can't you plug them into the mains?
No, you have to have 5,000 conferences with their parents and 84,000 letters going backwards and forwards. And,
do you?
Yeah.
Oh. So what happened to a teacher throwing at the... What's that thing? You know the clean... the duster thing, thank you. Those hard dustery things with the wooden bits on, where they used to clean the chalkboard down.
And chuck it at you.
And chuck it at you when you were noisy. Can't you do that anymore?
No, honestly, because there's not chalk on the board.
Oh. Anyway, we've got to finish up, boys and girls, otherwise he will kill me. Bob Dylan.
Yes.
There, I've said it. He is to walk in the shadow of Sir Paul McCartney.
No, Sir Paul McCartney is a shell of a man.
Oh,
he is the singing tortoise. He was given this prize so many years ago. He's a husk. He's not even a husk, is he? You can't let him go blow him away. I wish somebody would blow him away. Yeah, but he's there.
RTI.
This is Tom Arms and Look Ahead Radio's Entertainment Report. Broadcasting tomorrow's news today so that you can plan to participate. Broadway and the West End swap award-winning plays next week. Tony Award winner Urinetown opens in London on Monday. The hit musical is set in the future and features evil tycoon Caldwell B. Cladwell, who made his fortune monopolizing public toilets. Then next Sunday, the Broadway curtain rises on Olivier Award winner The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. The play is based on the best-selling novel about a 15-year-old autistic boy who witnesses a murder. In the art world on Monday, London's Tate Gallery opens its doors for this year's Turner Prize. The winner of the often controversial top British prize will walk away with £40,000 and a fistful of orders. Elsewhere in the art world, Vienna on Thursday hosts the top-ranking contemporary art show for Central and Eastern Europe. Scotland's comic national treasure, Billy Connolly, starts a tour of his homeland this week. He opens in Aberdeen on Monday and will take in Perth, Edinburgh and Dundee before finishing at Glasgow's Clyde Auditorium on 21-28 October. His support for the No campaign in the recent Scottish referendum could make for some interesting heckling. In the film world, the Nalise sisters, Sophie and Isabel, arrive in Winnipeg on Monday to start work on a new horror film, Wait Till Helen Comes. The film is directed by Dominic James. Country Western fans gather in Raleigh, North Carolina on Tuesday for the six-day Bluegrass Music Festival. While further west, in Texas, the headliners for the Austin City Limits Music Festival include Eminem, Pearl Jam, and Outkast. For the more highbrow listeners, Wednesday is the first ever World Ballet Day, and you can enjoy it with live performances via the internet. Five of the world's top ballet companies will participate in a 20-hour-long live streaming event with four-hour performances from each company. Mary Poppins, a.k.a. Dame Julie Andrews, turns 79 this week, as does rock and roll star Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Mathis. Singing philanthropist Bob Geldof turns 60, and former Boyzone singer Kevin Duffy reaches middle age at 40. Other birthdays are actors Jesse Eisenberg, Susan Sarandon, and Marion Cotillard. And finally, next Sunday is your chance to see the peak performance of climbing comics from Britain, New Zealand, and Canada. The Laughter Team will be appearing in a once-only gig at Mount Everest Base Camp before a live audience of 50 breathless souls who've climbed for 9 days to see them. And that is next week's Entertainment News Today, so that you can plan to participate in the world around you.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.